Let us then turn in God's Word to Isaiah chapter 30 as we continue in our study of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 30. As we look at the danger which Israel had in putting their confidence in man and their obstinance in that, even as God offered opportunities. And if we read Jeremiah and other places in the scripture, we see how much God told Israel and Judah not to put their trust in man, and yet they did again and again and again. And we need to as well be reminded that we need to be careful not to put our trust in man. Our trust needs, first of all, to be in God. Yes, God uses man and God uses our abilities as human beings. But finally, our trust is in the great creator of the universe. He who is God and who stills the storms and commands the thunder. And we understand that he cares for his people perfectly. And so let us read together Isaiah chapter 30 with that in mind. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel, but not of me, and who devise plans, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, who walk to go down to Egypt, and have not asked my advice, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore, the strength of Pharaoh shall be your shame, and trust in the shadow of Egypt shall be your humiliation. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people who could not benefit them, or be a help or benefit, but a shame and also a reproach. The burden against the beasts of the south. Through a land of trouble and anguish, from which came the lioness and the lion, the viper and fiery flying serpent. They will carry their riches on their back, on the backs of young donkeys, and their treasures on the humps of camels, to a people who shall not profit. For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore I have called her Rahab, Hem Shebeth. Now go, write it before them on a tablet, and note it on a scroll, that it may be for a time to come, forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things, speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perversity and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you like a breach ready to fall, a bulge in a high wall whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. And he shall break it like the breaking of the potter's vessel, which is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so shall there not be found among its fragments a shard to take fire from the hearth, or to take water from the cistern. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. But you would not. And you said, no, for we shall flee on horses, therefore we shall flee, you shall flee. And we will ride on swift horses. Therefore, those who pursue you shall be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one. At the threat of five, you shall flee till you are left as a pole on the top of a mountain, as a banner on a hill. Therefore, the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. And therefore, he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore. But your eyes shall see your teachers. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. You will also defile the covering of your images of silver and the ornaments of your molded images of gold. You will throw them away as an unclean thing. You will say to them, get away. Then he will give the rain for your seed with which you sow the ground and bread of the increase of the earth. In it will be fat and plentiful. In that day your cattle will feed in large pastures. Likewise, the oxen, the young donkeys that work the ground will eat cured fodder, which has been winnowed with the shovel and fan. There will be on every high mountain and on every high hill rivers and streams of water in the day of the great slaughter. When the towers fall, moreover, the light of the moon will be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be sevenfold as the light of 7 days. In that day, the Lord binds up the bruise of his people and heals the stroke of their wound. Behold, the name of the Lord comes from afar, burning with his anger, and his burden is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue like a devouring fire. His breath is like an overflowing stream which reaches up to the neck to sift the nations with the sieve of futility. And there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. You shall have a song as in the night when a holy festival is kept, and gladness of heart as when one goes with the flute to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. The Lord will cause his glorious voice to be heard and show the descent of his arm with the indignation of his anger and the flame of a devouring fire with scattering tempest and hailstones. For through the voice of the Lord, Assyria will be beaten down as he strikes with a rod. And in every place where the staff of punishment passes, which the Lord lays on him, it will be with tambourines and harps. And in battles of brandishing, he will fight with it. For Tophet was established of old. Yes, for the king is prepared. He has made it deep and large. Its pyre is fire with much wood. The breath of the Lord, like a stream of brimstone, kindles it. Thus far the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, we see in this passage, first of all, the Judeans to whom Isaiah is mostly written, that they are looking at the chastisement of God. He says, you are like children, rebellious children, who plan things but not of God. Remember what the Apostle James says in the New Testament. Those in catechism, I think, are reading it this coming week or in the next couple of weeks. The idea that we are not to say, I will go this place and do this and that and make money. But we should say, if the Lord wills. Notice the difference there. It may be very subtle, but we need to rely on God. It is God who blesses. It is God who provides for us. But notice where that brings them. When God says, hey, hope is in trusting in him. Safety and salvation is in him. They say, no, we're going to get it by running to other people, trusting in human beings and what they can do for us. And God says, as we continue there, that Israel was going to receive his chastisement, that they were going to be humiliated because they put their hope in Egypt. And certainly they were. We can read the historic accounts. But at that same time, in the midst of these times of hardship, I love how the Bible puts that. that though the Lord, verse 20, gives you the bread of adversity, the water of affliction, God puts us through very difficult times. God tests us. And our hope needs to be in Him, not in the things which man can do, not in safety on this earth, but safety in God. And at that same time, then, we also need to understand the end of the wicked, which are represented by the Assyrians. As we continue there, and at the end of the chapter, we're told that God would come with His anger as a heavy burden, with indignation. And the valley of Tophet was after the Assyrians had built up around Jerusalem, but they were not able to overthrow it by the power of God. We need to understand that. This was not Judea's and not Jerusalem's abilities. The valley of Tophet is the valley down the hill from Jerusalem. And God is the one who provided the victory. And of course, after that sort of battle, one of the things that they would do is that they would set a pyre fire to destroy the corpses. And that's what they did in the Valley of Tophet. We have to understand that there is a day of judgment coming. And we have to consider what side of this we are on. Are we trusting in God? Are we resting in God? Or are we resting in our own abilities? And notice God's graciousness is despite Israel's desire and Judea's desire to go down to Egypt, and they did do that, and it caused them great difficulties and troubles. And yet God brought them back, many of them. Many of them stayed in Egypt, and they were no longer a part of Israel. And we need to understand that our choices affect our eternity, our choices on this earth affect our eternity. What are we going to do? Where is our hope? Do we trust in ourselves, in man, or do we trust in God? The God who promises hope, who promises salvation. Because there's an awful lot of people who want smooth things said to them. Make it sound good to us. Make us feel good. Even though we are living in pathways that end in destruction, that end in the great pyre fire of hell. And so as we look at this passage, the theme that we want to see is, though God's people sought their help, their hope elsewhere, God promises His gracious blessing in the midst of the destruction of their enemies. Though God's people sought their hope elsewhere, God promises His gracious blessing in the midst of the destruction of their enemies. And as I said earlier in our worship service, there but for the grace of God go I. Because I deserve it just as much as any unbeliever. I deserve hell. And we all do. And so we need to have compassion on those who do not believe. We don't need to fear them as so often the church has throughout history. We need to have compassion, to feel sorry for them. Because they're on their way to eternal hell. Yes, there is also the aspect, and we read that here, by which there will be a great rejoicing at the destruction of the wicked. It's going to happen. Because of the wickedness of mankind is excessively wicked. We have lived, especially in our nation, in a great time of freedom from these sorts of nastinesses that go on in the world. But if we look around the world, we don't have to look far. And sadly, they're coming in our own culture as the culture clashes continue to get worse and worse. That people are killed for their faith. People receive horrific things. People do horrendous things to other people if they don't agree with them, if they decide they don't want them. And brothers and sisters, we need to understand that it is but for the grace of God, there go we. We deserve that just as much. And so as we look at this passage in verses 1 through 15, we see that God's people shut their ears to God's help and run to man. Now notice, this is descriptive, not prescriptive. It describes what Israel did. It is not what we ought to be doing. In verses 18 through 26, we see that the Lord allows his people to be tested, but he guides them in right paths of blessing. And then in verses 27 through 33, we see that the Lord's people will rejoice at the destruction of their enemies. And we need to do that with a level of humility. It is not something that we jump up and down at this point, but we need to understand the just judgment of God, which will come. So first of all, God's people shut their ears to God's help and run to man. Israel did this, Judea did this. They were hoping in Egypt. And they trust in the strength of man is going to be humiliation. Rebellious children, they try to hide their sin plans from God. They went down to Egypt. They hoped for deliverance by Pharaoh, by man, instead of God. God becomes secondary and man becomes primary. That's a dangerous place to be. God must be primary, man must be secondary or tertiary. When we put our trust in man first, we will be humiliated. But Pharaoh's help is not going to be of any profit to them. Pharaoh's princes were at Zoan, his ambassadors, they were all over the place. And yet, Israel did not get any help from them. Judah did not get any help from them. In fact, as Judeans and as Israelites went down there thinking that they were going to be safe, guess what? The Assyrians just came down and destroyed Egypt too. The Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose, we're told. And then as well, notice what people do. They seek to silence God's word. I don't want to hear what God says. That's nasty. That's mean. And God says to Isaiah, verse 8, now write it down before them on a tablet. On a clay tablet that's going to last centuries. On a scroll for time to come. So that people in the future will know what God said. Because if we just speak about it, oftentimes people won't know in 5 minutes what was said. And by the way, the destruction that God would bring on Israel and that God would bring on the Assyrians was massive. And it was pretty horrifying, really. And we need to understand why God was doing this. This needed to be written down. This was not something that could just go by on the way past. They wanted, verse 11, get out of the way. That doesn't just mean get aside, but they wanted the prophets to go away from God's word. Get out of the way of God's word, aside from the path. And we don't want to hear about this Holy One of Israel. God is holy. And we'll see the Holy One of Israel come up later. That these people who didn't want to think about God's holiness realized that God is a merciful, holy God that loves his people. And God says, because you despise God's word and trust in oppression and perversity, rely on them. Oppression, power. And people think that power is what gets us authority on this earth. No, God does. You despise God's word. I don't want to hear what God says. And perversity. Think of what's going on in our own culture, all the perversity that's going on there. It was in their cultures too. And we have to understand that. But all sorts of perversity. Perversity doesn't just speak of that. Perversity speaks of turning the truth of God into man's ideas. And Judah and the world relies on these things instead of relying on God. And God says, because you do this, because you trust in Egypt, because you trust in man, because you rely in power instead of in God, it's going to be like a breach, a block ready to fall on your head. And it will destroy in a moment. And Israel was broken down because of their iniquity. Judah was as well. And yet, what does God promise? Hope. Salvation. Despite man's ideas that run away from God, God promises hope in him. Thus says the Holy One of Israel. Again, this Holy One that they despise, and so often people despise because God is holy and we don't want to deal with that. In returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Not in power, not in turning good things into evil in many different perverse ways, but in God, resting in him, in the still small voice of God. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. And they said, verse 16, no, for we will flee on horses. We have the best equipment. We're going to be saved by that. By the way, those horses are going to be swift. Power in man's abilities. What's that in comparison to God who created the universe? Nothing. And yet, we as human beings put our trust in these things. And I don't care how good they are, how well made they are, they're not able to stand up before God. He says, you will flee in front of one person. 1,000, verse 17, shall flee at the threat of one. And the threat of five, you will flee. Till you are left as a pole on the top of a mountain, as a banner on a hill. Just thinking about that. You stick a big flag on top of Mount Everest. How many other people ever see that? How important is that? I was here. There's nothing left. And I think we're going to have to cut out about there because there's so much more in this passage. But brothers and sisters, how easy it is for us to trust in man. To trust in our own abilities. We so easily get this idea that we can take care of it. We've got big abilities. We've got nuclear bombs. Doesn't matter. God is far greater. And brothers and sisters, we need to understand that. So no matter who's in control of the nuclear bombs or Twitter or Facebook or all of the other big companies that seem like they're running the world, God's in control. And we don't need to fear that. We can take rest. We can take comfort in him. And we need to understand that our first reaction often goes straight against this, doesn't it? But brothers and sisters, we rest in Christ, in the God of the universe who created this universe and will judge this universe. The elements will melt with fervent heat. Where's our trust then? It better be in Jesus Christ. It better be in the God who created all of these things. And he is the one, as we see later on, of course, that carries his people through all of the trials, through those times of the bread of adversity, the water of affliction. And he is the one who stands at the end with judgment, with the great judgment of the fire of hell. And so, brothers and sisters, but for the grace of God, there go we. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, not in man We do not need to put our fear in man, our trust in man. Our fear needs to be of the God of the universe, who created the universe and will judge it. Amen. Let us then bow before our God in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Almighty, most gracious, Heavenly Father, we stand in awe of your grace to miserable sinners, who so often our first reaction is to trust ourselves, to trust in man and our abilities, to fear man because of man's powers. Yet, Lord, you stand as God. You created the elements of the universe. And man will stand before you in judgment. And so, Lord, help us in all of our situations to trust in you, to use the things that we have in this world as tools for the glory of you as our God and as our Savior. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you became one of us, that you took upon yourself the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary, that you became man, true God and true man, so that you could save sinners like us. And so, Lord, we come before your throne of grace in thanksgiving and in praise to our Savior, to Christ, praying as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.